I want to thank you very much for being with us, and we will continue to follow your case. That does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharif Abdelkaddous, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Frank Lopez, Aaron Mate, Jen Youth. Special thanks to Nick Marsilio and as well to Uri Galed and Flip Mike DeFilippo. Tomorrow night on Wednesday, we'll be at Mount Holyoke, Mary Woolley Hall. On Friday night at the Britt Auditorium at Southern Oregon University in Ashland. We'll be in Walnut Creek, California, Sacramento, and Palo Alto on Saturday. On Sunday in Burlington, Vermont. And next week, we'll be in Buffalo. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Our website, democracynow.org.
Stony Brook.
Hey Pete, what go on?
Just cool.
Easy, Jed, you ready?
Steady now.
Come in.
Stony Brook Posse wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes. I wanna hear you say yes. Long Island Posse wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes. I wanna hear you say yes. So all those who wanna hear rockers gonna hear some fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
All those who wanna feel IRA have to feel fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
When the clock strikes seven on a Friday night, rocking iration gonna make you feel nice. WSB 90.1 FM.
On your FM, the Ross, Mike, Ross, Poppin' and Easy Trip, they only bring you
fresh!
Bluesman culture and reggae music to make you feel
fresh!
All those who wanna hear rock, who's gonna hear it?
Fresh!
And in case you couldn't tell, the radio station is WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6 p.m., 1800 hours in the Eastern Time Zone, and it's time now for Off the Wall. what would I do without a nice long theme? And I swear one day I'm going to just sit here and let the whole theme play out without saying a single word. Because not enough time is spent relaxing and just sort of taking it all in, listening to the music. I mean, it's a talk show, I know. But sometimes you just have to kind of chill, you know, and relax a little bit. I think that's the advice maybe that we should be giving to the entire country at this point. Chill. For God's sake, relax. But they'll never listen. And you know why? Because they don't listen to this show. That's why. Because you, the people who are listening, aren't doing your job and getting 2 new people per week to listen to this show. Yeah, read the contract. You're supposed to be doing that. How else are we going to take back our nation? Oh, I hate saying that. Because for some reason, the only people who say that are the lunatics. Time to take back the nation. Yeah. Well, whatever. Time we do something different with the nation. How about that? We have a bunch of interesting stories this week. And I guess they all revolve around sickness, around how we are just going in the wrong directions and kind of living in a fantasy land that we perpetuate ourselves, freaking ourselves out and driving ourselves crazy. And of course, you're invited to join in the fun by calling us and being on the air. That's right, it's not just on the internet. If you're listening on the internet, okay, great. But, you know, we also broadcast over the air. That old-fashioned method of getting a signal out via the airwaves. I bet there are people out there who don't even listen to the radio at all. They just have their iPod and their computer and their CD collection, and that's it. They never even turn the switch on and tune the dial to see what's out there. And granted, there's not much out there. It's all a bunch of commercial crap, and it's getting worse. But that's one of the reasons why it's important to keep alternative voices alive on the airwaves. Because not everybody is as technically sophisticated as you are. Not everybody has an iPod. Not everybody has a computer or even knows how to use one or has ever touched one. Ask yourself this. The way you're listening to this program right now, can your grandmother listen that way? Can she? Never mind, she's no longer alive. Just answer the question. No, she probably can't. But she can turn on the radio and find us by accident that way. And riveted in horror, she can listen for the entire hour. So, think about that. That's the importance of radio. That's why radio should not be allowed to be turned over to the corporate interests and NPR. Because they're just going to put forth the same thing over and over again and not have anything spontaneous, new, and different. And they also will not give you the chance to be heard over these airwaves. So the airwaves are important. But if you're listening on the internet, we welcome you anyway. Our phone number is country code 1, area code 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And I especially like to hear from those of you overseas and in different countries, because I've been getting a lot of feedback from people the past couple of days saying, have you all lost your mind over there in America? What's going on? What's wrong with you people? And I sort of like to hear that live in person, or maybe hear from some people over there who think that we're not so crazy and out of our minds. So let's dive into things. Well, first of all, the most controversial thing of all, check this out. The baseball season's over, and both the Yankees and Mets finished in first place. So when's the last time that happened? And on top of that, and I guarantee it's the first time this ever happened, the Yankees and the Mets both finished with the same exact record of 97 wins and 65 losses. And both of them also had the best record in their league, which means they're both tied for the best record overall. I mean, that's kind of bizarre, don't you think? You don't have to be a sports person to realize the craziness of that. And I think what it also means, and I don't know about this for sure, but I think the playoffs are now beginning. And because they have the best record, they get the home field advantage. They get to start the playoffs at home. And I think that means they're both playing at home at the same time. So that's going to be kind of crazy. But if someone out there, some sports nut out there, could just look this up, because I didn't know how to look this up, but has there ever been a time in the whole history of baseball in New York where the two New York teams, and there used to be three New York teams, it used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Giants, and the New York Yankees, did any two of them ever finish with the exact same record? And if so, did they ever win the division with the exact same record? I could not figure out how to look that particular statistic up, and nobody's talking about it. And I think that's pretty fascinating. That's about it. That's all the fascination I have in the whole thing, but I just thought it was kind of cool. And what else? Oh, yeah, in response to something that we brought up a few weeks ago, we were talking about Neil Armstrong screwing up the line, the most important line of his life. And apparently that launched a whole big investigation. Well, I'm sure some people will say it's completely got nothing to do with us, but come on. What are the odds? An Australian computer programmer, and I know we have listeners in Australia, so, I mean, if that doesn't clinch it, I don't know what does. An Australian computer, computers too, probably listening to us over the computer. You see the connections here? It all makes sense. He says that he found the missing A. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. He found the missing A from Armstrong's famous first words from the moon in 1969, when the world heard the phrase, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Obviously, he should have said, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Some historians and critics and radio talk show hosts have dogged Armstrong for not saying the more dramatic and grammatically correct "one small step for a man" in the version he transmitted to NASA's Mission Control. And this is actually true. Without the missing A, he essentially said "one small step for mankind, one giant leap for mankind." At least he didn't say that, but that's really what it meant. The famous astronaut has maintained he intended to say it properly and believes he did. Thanks to some high-tech sound editing software, computer programmer Peter Shan Ford may have proved Armstrong right. He said Ford said he downloaded the audio recording of Armstrong's words from a NASA website, okay, and analyzed the statement with software that allows disabled people to communicate through computers using their nerve impulses. And in a graphical representation of the famous phrase, Ford said he found evidence that the missing A was spoken and transmitted to NASA. So you can see it, apparently, but you can't hear it. And that probably explains why I wasn't able to find a single audio file of this guy's discovery, because apparently it doesn't change the way it sounds. Having a bit of trouble following this, but I guess if you can see it on the computer screen, that means it must have happened. Anyway, that's the latest on that particular controversy. And we had a hijacking today. Yes, there haven't been very many plane hijackings, but apparently someone's trying to get that back into fashion. A Turkish man hijacked a jetliner carrying 113 people from Albania to Istanbul, and he forced it to land in southern Italy, where he surrendered and released all the passengers unharmed. Wasn't much of a hijacking, but it was something, you know, it was a hijacking. And apparently he was seeking political asylum, although the reports I heard earlier suggested that he was upset about the Pope coming to visit Turkey. And boy, is that going to be something when that happens. So, yeah, that's some of the late-breaking news items that are happening. Okay, all right, let's get to the story everybody's talking about, and I really don't understand why. Yes, yes, yes. Mark Foley, former Representative Mark Foley. Oh, my God, if I hear any more stupid reports about this thing. Now, today's headline, ready for this? Today's headline, report, Foley had cyber sex before vote. Great. You know, this is what I need to know. This is what I need to know, that this guy had some kind of conversation on instant messaging before he voted on some issue, probably outlawing the exact same thing he was doing. But let me just, first of all, straighten out people about something, which is really bothering me. It's really bothering me a lot. Everybody is talking about the email scandal and how these emails are basically the heart of the entire thing. In case you're just waking up from something, we're talking about Representative Tom Foley from Louisiana, right? Louisiana? And he was supposedly involved with 16-year-old pages insofar as communicating with them over the internet in a, shall we say, a not professional manner, rather a, we'll get into the details in, I guess, just a moment. Not too much of the details, because I'm really sick of hearing about this story. But the thing that bothers me, as somebody who is on the internet quite a bit, I'm on it right now, in fact, and gets upset when the wrong terminology is used. I'm not talking about going insane and making sure every single word is exactly perfect, but the difference between instant messaging and email is something that I think we really should have a grasp on by now. This whole thing is basically, every story that I've seen about this is focusing on the email as if that was the problem here, and that something should have been done by anybody who saw these emails. Let me read you the emails, all right? I'm going to actually read the emails over the air. I don't know if this has ever been done before. Yeah, the evil emails from Mark Foley to supposedly former 16-year-old pages. I don't know how old they were at the time. This was sent last year, about a year ago. The first email has no subject and reads as follows. And again, I guess I should caution, if you're easily offended, or if you have children, or if you are a child, well, who am I to advise you? Do what you want, all right? It's just be forewarned, that's all. All right, here's the email, July 29, 2005. Can't believe I'm actually going to read this over the air, but I have to. Do I have the right email? Signed, Mark Foley. Okay, that's the first one. That should have right there indicated that there was something going on. The second email gets a little bit more detailed. Doesn't say who it's to. I guess, you know, there's no reason for us to know that, but it must be to one of these people. Glad you're home safe and sound. We don't go back into session until September 5th. It's a nice long break. I am back in Florida now. It's nice here. Been raining today. It sounds like you will have some fun over the next few weeks. How old are you now? Okay, now granted, that last sentence sort of came out of space and might be a bit disturbing to somebody wondering why he's asking a personal question like that. Not that it's really that personal, but it, depending on your previous conversations with the person, that's either bizarre or nothing to worry about. Okay, whatever. Two pieces of email we've now heard from Mark Foley. Here's the third one. I am in North Carolina, and it was 100 in New Orleans. Wow, that's really hot. Well, do you miss D.C.? It's raining here. He seems to really be into giving the weather forecast a lot. It's got to mean something. It's raining here, but 68 degrees, so who can argue? Did you have fun at your conference? What do you want for your birthday coming up? What stuff do you like to do? Again, this could be something that might make somebody a little bit concerned. But we don't know the context as far as the other conversations going back and forth. We have never seen an email going to him. So, if I was reading this, it would be a little odd, but I don't think a congressional investigation or calling the feds in would be warranted at that stage. Okay, here's the fourth email. I just emailed Will. He's such a nice guy, acts much older than his age, and he's in really good shape. I am just finished riding my bike. Is that even grammatically correct? I am just finished riding my bike on a 25-mile journey or 2.5? I guess it's not much of a journey if it's 2.5. So a 25-mile journey, now heading to the gym. What's school like for you this year? These are fairly innocent remarks, but you have to wonder, this guy's a congressman. He's a representative. What's he doing sending email to pages? He should be out representing. You know, that's what these people are paid for. I'm more concerned with that, wasting time on the internet. I think it's inappropriate for any congressman to be using instant messages and email to the general public like that. But that's just me, regardless of what they're saying. And finally, the last controversial email here, and this really is the last one. These are all the emails that have been released. How are you weathering the hurricane? Are you safe? Send me an email pic of you as well. You know, he seems to have this way of the last sentence is always the thing that's sort of like, uh-oh, what's this all about? But again, strange as it is, and it is strange, it is unusual, it is disturbing to many people, there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there that would raise the alarm bells unless you're already in a state of somewhat paranoia. Now, in this case, I want to point out, in this case, the paranoia turned out to be justified because, well, when the instant messages were finally revealed, they were certainly a lot more sexually explicit than anything there. There's no sexually explicit anything in there. There really isn't. But everybody is focusing on the emails. They're saying the emails are the heart of the matter, and they're not. They're not. They're basically saying, even conservatives are now saying that the House Speaker has to resign because he knew about the emails a year ago. Yeah, Dennis Hastert has to resign because he didn't do anything when he saw those emails. What exactly? I mean, they talked to the guy. They said, really shouldn't be doing this. Don't have these, like, personal conversations with 16-year-old pages. Or maybe the 17-year-old. Who knows how old they are at that point. And to be honest, it wouldn't seem like that big a deal. Now, the instant messages came out last week. They did not come out before last week. Unless I've been completely misinformed, these things were released by ABC News. Now, the question I have as far as those things go is, was the authenticity actually verified? Because how do you basically prove that an instant message log is authentic? And how do you know who it actually went to and things like that? Now, of course, the guy resigned, so obviously that means something. That means that he must know that he's guilty. Either that or he has no idea what's going on and he just is panicking. But I think all the evidence points to him being guilty of this. But a lot is not being told. A lot is not being given out to the public. For instance, the instant messages that we've seen, are they to multiple people? Are they to the same person? Are they to somebody above a certain age, below a certain age? All these things are just not being told. And at least I have not seen any details of it. So it's really kind of, obviously everybody is reacting strongly about this, but this is what some of my friends and colleagues over in different countries have been saying to me. What exactly did the guy do other than have these conversations online, which were inappropriate? And the answer seems to be not a lot, not much, except wasting a lot of taxpayer time. But that's pretty much it. And you know, the thing with instant messaging is that you don't have to take part in it. Show me the evidence that this guy was actually forcing people into certain situations, making them uncomfortable in person, doing horrible things like that. And that has yet to be shown. Now, maybe it will be shown at some point, but right now, oh, the hotline just went off. Right now, I guess I'm in trouble for voicing these controversial, not even opinions, they're just observations. Things we're not seeing, things we're not hearing. I want to hear these things. I want to hear the actual evidence. Somebody sending inappropriate instant messaging. Yeah, you know what? The guy should not be a congressman. He should not be, for obvious reasons. He should not be hanging around impressionable people. But at the same time, the people on the other end of these conversations have to take a little responsibility themselves. Don't get involved in these things. Don't perpetuate them. Don't respond to them. And from what I've seen, they didn't really do anything to stop it. And that's got to be addressed a little bit, too. Now, people in other countries are saying, this kind of thing would happen in our country. It's thought of as some weird guy that you just avoid, and that's it. You're smart enough to know not to get into these situations. End of story. But here it's not the end of the story. Here, this is what we're going to be talking about during the elections. This is what we're going to be talking about. Not the war. Not all this spying that's going on American citizens. Not the taking away of civil liberties. The fact that this guy was sending inappropriate instant messages to a teenager someplace. A consenting teenager, too, I might point out. But never mind. It's just, the whole thing is ridiculous as far as the amount of time that's being spent on it. Now, you recognize a potential problem. You deal with it. You move on. But the fascination that this country has with this kind of thing is just, that is what bugs me more than anything else. And if you even speak out, if you even say anything along these lines, oh my God, you must be condoning it. You must be on this guy's side. So everybody is afraid. Everybody is afraid to say anything other than the party line of, we must have a full investigation. We must spend lots and lots of time to investigate how such a thing occurred in the first place and why these kids were not protected. How do you protect kids against instant messages? That's what I'd like to know. You know, how do you do that exactly? The only people who can protect you against instant messages are you. That's not even grammatically right, but you know what I mean? You can block an email address from sending things to you, or a screen name rather. You don't have to respond. You can change your screen name. There's all sorts of things you can do. It's easy. But I think what's more important is just to teach some common sense to people out there. Don't engage in these kinds of things. And while I always relish the thought of Republicans, conservatives, right-wingers resigning in disgrace and having to turn over their office to somebody who might be a little bit more enlightened, and there's a tremendous opportunity here for that to happen, this just does not seem like the right way to do it. I haven't seen anything to indicate that the House Speaker was at all at fault for not calling in the authorities based on what he saw at that particular point in time. Now, I also would like to know, how did ABC News get a hold of these instant message logs? Seems to me that somebody was playing somebody during this whole thing. And what better time to reveal it than right before the election? You know, when I was 16, I was up to some pretty devious things. And I could certainly take care of myself in a situation like this. And I could certainly manipulate people to get themselves into a lot of trouble. And what better way to get someone to say things like that, save the log, reveal the log at a particular time, and just sit back and watch the fun? I mean, Bush is commenting on this now. Like this is the most important issue facing our nation. And I'm not saying it's not important that this kind of thing be revealed when it happens. But my God, the amount of time we're spending on it, it just shows how sick our nation has become, where this is considered the important stuff. And it makes me think back. It makes me think back to those earlier days where we seemed to really have common sense, where we seemed to realize that certain things mattered, certain things had to be paid attention to, and other things weren't as important, and we just moved on with our lives. Maybe it was a simpler time back then. Maybe it was a time when we just lived our humdrum lives. And we didn't think as much as we did today. But you know what? I think it was a better time. I can't believe I'm saying things like this now, but I think it was a better time back then. You know, musically, it was kind of a simpler time as well. People tended to listen to the same kinds of music at the same time, which I guess isn't that good a thing, but still, it provided a kind of unity, you know? You could never have a Beatles today. You could never have a group that everybody enjoys listening to at the same time. I remember coming to school years ago, and there'd always be a song that would be on everybody's minds because everybody would hear it. And these days, things are just so factionalized. Everybody's into their own particular type of music, whether it's jungle or bass or trance. And that's all one particular genre of music to start with. But there are people who never listen to anything else. And back then, you know, you'd hear a simple tune. Yeah, a simple tune like this. What a nice song this was. And everybody would be humming this song, listening to these words.
You come on like a dream, peaches and green, lips like strawberry wine. You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
Wait, this is highly inappropriate. We can't have lyrics like that going out of the airwaves. This might have been appropriate in 1973, but No. This is sending the wrong message. How old was Ringo when he did this song? He was 33, wasn't he? Oh, come on. You can't do this. So the question is, does Mark Foley have this CD? Or maybe he has it on vinyl. You know who's playing kazoo here? That's Paul McCartney. So Paul McCartney even condones this kind of thing. 33-year-old men singing about 16-year-old guys. Yeah, it's about a guy. You know that, right? You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine. I'm a little bit more concerned with the possessive type of thing here. 16, you're mine? You're beautiful, and you're mine. How can you own somebody like that? You're 16, so beautiful, and you're mine. All mine. Yeah, all yours. All right, so Ringo, you know, imagine these words being sent by Mark Foley in the email there. I think we need to investigate Ringo for this. Actually, you know, in all fairness, it's not Ringo's fault. No, it's society's fault. It's the fault of Robert and Richard Sherman, the Sherman brothers. They wrote that song in 1960. Yeah, they wrote it in 1960. It reached number 8 by rockabilly singer John Burnett. And then 14 years later, Ringo Starr. I don't think a song like that could even be played, except for a station like this. But boy, that's something. That's something else. Just goes to show you. And it also brings up an interesting point. Do you think we'd be having all these... All these news conferences and TV shows dedicated to this crisis if the person on the other end of that instant message was a female? I don't think so. I think you're seeing a lot of homophobia here as well. I think the guy would be, he'd have to resign too, but he'd be seen as more of a womanizer and just kind of a rascal because that sort of thing. Songs like this come out and people just sort of give a little wink and a smile, and that's... That's okay. Plus, look at culturally how many different times this sort of thing is represented as harmless fun. You have movies. You have all sorts of movies that have come out, and just some of the ones that spring to mind instantly. Private Lessons. Listen to the summary for Private Lessons. Philip Fillmore is a naive 15-year-old preoccupied with sex who develops a crush on Nicole Mallow, the new 30-something French housekeeper and sitter, to look after him when Philip's father is out of town for the summer on a business trip. But Mr. Fillmore's unscrupulous chauffeur, Lester Lewis, takes advantage of Philip's crush on Nicole to hire her to seduce the youth, then draws her into a plot to fake her own death in a blackmail scheme aimed... It goes on from there. But there you go. It was right there in that film. That came out in 1981. Harold and Maude. One of the all-time classics. Harold is a depressed, death-obsessed 20-year-old man-child who looks like he's 12, who spends his free time attending funerals and committing suicide in front of his mother, but he does not die. At a funeral, Harold befriends Maude, a 79-year-old woman who has a zest for life. And it goes on from there. Of course, these are male-female relationships, so I guess it's a lot more acceptable. You have Lolita, 1962. Humbert? That's his name? What a silly name. A divorced British professor of French literature travels to small-town America for a teaching position. He allows himself to be swept into a relationship with Charlotte Hayes. his widowed and sexually famished landlady, whom he marries in order that he might pursue the woman's 14-year-old flirtatious daughter, Lolita, with whom he has fallen hopelessly in love. Just a couple of weeks ago on Showtime, there's a program called Weeds, which is really a good program. It's fantasy about a society that kind of accepts marijuana. But some of the other things I get into are equally controversial. One of the sons, basically the housewife, is selling pot to get by, as any housewife would do. And she has two sons, and one of the sons is 12 years old and is just entering puberty. His uncle takes him to a massage parlor. And basically, I can't get into too much detail here, but the woman at the massage parlor takes sympathy on the 12-year-old and gives him what is known as a happy finish, which makes him the happiest kid on earth. This was on Showtime only a couple of weeks ago. And in fact, there's a poll. There's a poll on TV.com that you can look at where people were asked, was this an inappropriate scene, even for this show? And something like 80% said no, it wasn't. So the point is, we're freaking out a lot about things that are not that uncommon and really are should be dealt with on a personal level. That is, by the family, by the people involved, and not by the entire nation, wasting a whole lot of time. And the other thing, and I really want to talk very much more about this, unless listeners have something they'd like to say about it. I'm sure there's all sorts of opinions, but there are more important things to talk about, and I'd sort of like to prove that. One of the interesting facts about this whole case, even if the guy had shown up at someone's house or someplace and done things, highly inappropriate things, it's possible that he wasn't even breaking the law then. Because someone directed me to this site a couple of days ago. Do you know there's a site called ageofconsent.com? I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. There's a site called ageofconsent.com that basically goes over all the different ages and all the different countries where sex is permitted. And, for instance, let's look at Albania. Albania, the age of consent is 14 in Albania. I just picked Albania because they were first. It also breaks it down by state. Now, this guy was from, what, Louisiana? The age of consent in Louisiana is 17. And male-to-male sex is illegal, as female-to-female sex is illegal, according to this. I mean, I imagine that can't be right. It can't be illegal, but some element of it must not be treated the same way. But there are other really, really strange and bizarre types of things in here. Like in Syria, for instance, the age of consent is 13. And in Holland, apparently it's 12 in some places, which to me is insane. To most people, I think that would be insane. But it just goes to show you that we're talking about cultural things here. Cultural things of a particular country. I think that's one of the reasons why people in the rest of the world just can't seem to understand our fascination with this, and why we just can't seem to look at other things and realize they're more important. Maybe the reason is because the other things are so unpleasant. A war that seems to never end, that there's no way out of, an occupation, invasion, whatever you want to call it. Or the fact that we seem to have a preponderance of people who want to kill other people in this country. And of course, I'm referring to three separate school shootings in 1 week. I think that's an all-time high, even for our country. The latest one being yesterday's horrible siege at an Amish school in Pennsylvania. And boy, this is something else, because it's got all sorts of people talking about, well, what can we do better? And the only thing I can think of is not make it so easy for people to get access to these weapons of killing. That's one thing. That's the main thing. And actually, I guess maybe even a bigger thing is taking a good serious look at what's going on in our society, where we are so obsessed with violence and killing and revenge and hostage taking and all sorts of other horrible things like that. Because we are obsessed with this. And this is something we should be focusing a lot of time on, because there is something sick in our country when this kind of thing happens so frequently. It happened last week in Wisconsin. 15-year-old student walked into his high school on Friday carrying a shotgun and a handgun and fatally shot his principal. Ninth grader. They're saying this kid was abused, had all kinds of problems, but apparently nobody cared enough to do anything about it. And this is how people act out. This is one you might not have heard about. Two schools were locked down on Monday when police searched for a teenager who had been spotted on a high school campus with a gun. They never found one, apparently, but they had lockdown. Now, here's the other thing. Lockdown. If you go to school now, lockdown is part of your vocabulary, isn't it? People know what lockdown is. When I went to school, lockdown was a word that was only used in prison. And now, the prison mentality has spread to our schools. And we think the way to keep people safe is to have metal detectors all over the place, have cops in the schools, and have lockdowns when there's the slightest hint of trouble. Is that making us safer, or is that just making us more mentally attuned to the horrors ahead? I think it's a sign of a sick society when you have to have an armed perimeter around a school. And schools are called soft targets. Well, you know what? Human beings are soft targets. You can't have metal detectors every place, even though I'm sure there are people who want that. And that's what we're moving towards. Surveillance cameras, drug tests, lie detector tests, and metal detectors every place you go because everybody is out to get you. Everybody wants to kill you and hurt you. And that's just reality. So instead of looking at why this is happening, how this is developing, and why it's so damn easy, no, we don't care about that. I actually saw something today. This was too offensive for me even to read on the air, so it's got to be pretty damn offensive. But this was a pro-gun site that somebody directed me to that said, you know, this is exactly the kind of thing that happens when the anti-gun people get their way. Because that Amish school had no guns inside it. Nobody was armed in the school with 9-year-olds and teachers. Someone should have been packing so they could have fired back. This is the mentality that we have now. It's not prevention. It's having a gun battle in elementary schools now. So yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. And then of course the other case. I'm even forgetting a case, aren't I? There was a case in Colorado last week where this guy took over a school and molested and killed a bunch of female students. Of course, you also had the case in Montreal a few weeks ago where this guy went berserk and had these weapons and just started firing inside a school, inside a college. So it's not limited to the United States. I don't want to give the impression that we're the only ones that this is happening to. But it's happening here far more than it's happening anyplace else. Just look at the news and you'll see that. It's not hard to reach this conclusion. So we need to take some very hard looks at the violence in our society, how it got this way, and why we're afraid to actually address these issues. All right, our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. I'm sure I'm going to get all kinds of flack for the comments I made today. But all right, let me make another comment to them. We had a situation in Lakeland, Florida over the last week where some guy killed a cop and went on the run. He was some kind of drug dealer, apparently, and he was on the run. And they eventually found the guy. And he was lying on the ground, and apparently he still had a gun in one hand. He was ordered to put his hands up. He didn't do that right away. So they fired on him. And I guess not very many people would argue that that was what they had to do to subdue him. But they found that they fired at him. He had 60 bullets in him, over 60 bullets in him. And apparently every single cop that was there fired at the same time with automatic weapons of all sorts. And when asked about this, the guy in charge said, well, the only reason I can think of why he had 60 bullets in him was because those were all the bullets that the cops had on them. Now, I don't think very many people don't understand that you're angry that this guy killed one of your fellow officers. But there's a certain type of behavior that cops have to maintain while they are cops. And that's why they get treated like gods everywhere, because they're the ones taking chances and acting supposedly with restraint. And when someone poses a threat to you, yes, you know, you subdue them in whatever way possible, but you don't let your emotions take over like that. And this is something where this is no different than a death squad. Sure, the guy is guilty of something, but this is not the way the cops should act. I mean, is that a crazy thought? We can understand the emotion, but this is not how they should be acting. And nobody's saying that either. Okay, we got one call on the line, but you know what? I want three calls before we start taking phone calls. 631-632-9872. And our email address for you to send whatever opinions you might have is otw@2600.com. That's OTW standing for Off the Wall at 2600.com. And we like to read your email. In fact, I'm looking for some email right now of interest to our listeners. Let's see. Not that one. I read that one last week, didn't I? How about some news from the military? Manuel, I thought you'd like to see this. I'm in the Air Force. I remember hearing about this not being able to protest in uniform rule, so I thought I'd send you a copy of what I found. It looks like this directive is outdated, but I imagine it's about the same or even more strict now. Section 358, prohibited activities. The wearing of the uniform by members of the armed forces, including retired members and members of reserve components, is prohibited under any of the following circumstances, except when authorized by competent service authority, when participating in activities such as public speeches, interviews, picket lines, marches, rallies, or any public demonstration, including those pertaining to civil rights, which may imply service sanction of the cause for which demonstration or activity is conducted. It goes on to explain how retired people can only wear their uniform at funerals and stuff. And now for the way to hack this. From my understanding, the word uniform implies that you have your name, rank, and branch on the uniform. One could go and protest once retired wearing a uniform with the name tag, rank, branch removed. It would still have about the same effect, I believe. Don't take my word for this, but it's an idea. Sign click. Thanks very much for input there on how you can exercise your free speech while being part of the military. I think that's important. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel, how you doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
I actually just heard you reading my email.
Really? Was this your email just now? That's what a coincidence that is.
Yeah, that's really crazy. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
But I had a quick question for you.
Okay.
I was wondering if you mentioned when the Steve Rombaum talk is going to happen?
Well, we don't actually know yet.
Okay.
We don't actually know. We're trying to work that out, and hopefully on Off the Hook we'll be able to announce that.
All right.
Okay.
Right. What was on my mind.
All right. Well, any other thoughts or feelings?
No. I'm curious to hear what you had to say about that military situation. I'm a few minutes behind on the stream.
Yeah. Okay. Well, catch up on the stream then.
Right.
And hopefully we'll hear from you soon. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Let's take this call over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I called last week, and we were discussing the 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Oh, boy. Do we have time for that this week?
Well, I was just listening to what you said, and it just seemed to me that this most recent revelation is more of a diversion from Bob Woodward's book and a lot of the stuff that he's written about.
Yes. Yeah, you're talking about the Foley thing is diversion.
Correct, yes. The molestation of young children.
Except he didn't molest it. I don't think he even...
We don't know exactly what took place. I would say that more than likely he probably had some form of a liaison with these children when they were up at on the Hill, and maybe now, you know, he's trying to keep in contact with them. It's hard to say. I mean, we're told less than we're told, you know? I mean, less than they want you to know.
Right. I just think I'd like to know how they know these things, and I'd like to know all the information, but let's not dwell on it forever.
Yeah, but the timing of it, I mean, they knew about this for the last year and a half, plus they knew that the guy... had some suspicious background prior to that. So
did they know about the instant messages before last weekend? I don't think they did. I don't think anybody did.
Well, I've heard various accounts of it as to what is true or what is not true. I don't really know at this point. But as I said before, it's a horrible story, but I don't think it's really worthy of this type of scrutiny. I think there are bigger questions, mm-hmm. and that's the, you know, I mean, we have the thousands of people that were killed in the towers, then you have another 3,000 men and possibly 10,000 Americans wounded, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis that have been slaughtered, whom had nothing whatsoever to do with the attacks on this country.
Of course.
So we're going to look at this particular instance, which should be taken up with the authorities as well as the parents of the children that have had this done to
but
them.
Do
but
we,
ultimately...
Do we accept if we can get Republicans out of office by bringing up this crazy story about instant messages and email, would we accept that since we can't get their attention on things like wars and freedoms being abridged and things like that?
Correct, yeah. And it would seem to me that they've dumbed us down severely, or at least they're attempting to do that. Everything is Anna Nicole Smith, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's these topics every night, even like, you know, the television shows like Fox, where they would used to cover politics, they're now covering these type of Enquirer type stories. And I think it's beneath our education. I think that it's a sad state of affairs, especially when you consider the state of the nation at this point. I mean, we're spending what, $10 billion a week in a country? I mean, when Bush came into office, he did not tell us that he had premeditated war on his mind, nor did he tell us that we were going to be spending $10 billion a week in Iraq because the guy threatened his father or whatever his reasons may have been.
And the guy should have threatened his father because his father bombed his country.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that makes
this
sense
is true.
To me.
I don't know that, you know, the attempted assassination or to say you're going to assassinate a president is necessarily a crime. It's when you try to carry it out that it becomes fodder for, you know, maybe a problem. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we've done it to other countries, haven't we? We assassinated a few leaders.
Of course, because we are right. We know what we're doing. We're the policemen of the world. But let me ask you something. Moving on from the major story of someone sending inappropriate instant messages to the major story of people killing each other in our country all the time, what do you think about that? Why do you think people are invading schools and killing the children in the schools? Who are all these screwed up people that suddenly explode?
Well, I tell you, I've thought about this a lot, and I think that a lot of people are on different types of prescription drugs, and I think that when they get off of these drugs, there are repercussions. I think that there are ups and downs in their mood swing, and as well as the fact that these people might not have been stable to begin with. In this man's instance, is that he was to go for a drug test on that day. They told him he had to go for a drug test, so maybe he was afraid of losing his job.
Wait, are you talking?
Maybe
are you talking about the Colorado loony or the Pennsylvania loony?
The Pennsylvania guy, the guy that killed the Amish.
He was going to go for a drug test. Okay.
You know, I don't know. I mean, this mental illness comes in many shapes and sizes, and it's a horrible, horrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that the pharmaceutical industry has maybe, you know, in an attempt to help us, has maybe made things worse.
Yeah. Well, are you okay?
Medicine, you know?
Strange noise. Well, it's interesting that you bring this up because it also sort of plays a part in the Wisconsin case where the kid killed his principal. Apparently that kid was supposed to be on some kind of medication, but he wasn't because his family couldn't afford the medication.
Yeah, that happened. That happened in my neighborhood, too. A kid was on these drugs, whether it was for learning disorder or something, and then he stopped taking them, and his friends knew it, but they didn't realize that it was going to be a problem. And he was doing his homework with his father one night, and he just went upstairs in his bedroom and shot himself in the head with his gun, you know, his target practice pistol.
Now, do you think it's right for people to just have such ready access to all these weapons where it can do something on the spur of the moment and just blow their brains out or take over a school or something like that? It seems like we're just not paying enough attention to how easy it is to get these things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the arms industry has been like, they've got the laws so screwed up. Weapons should definitely not be so easily accessible, especially when people are emotionally upset. It's just the availability. But then again, they could use a motor vehicle to do the same type of damage.
I've never heard of somebody taking over a school with a motor vehicle.
Yeah, well, you know, they could crash through the wall maybe or onto the field and kill the kids. I mean, if somebody wants to kill somebody, they're going to do it.
That's true. But
I do think that guns make people a little more braver than they might otherwise be.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know.
And
I don't
people,
have the answers.
Here's
I,
the
I really
thing.
Don't. But
here's
like
the thing.
I did
as
say earlier, I think the biggest story, because I had heard somebody say this, that this was Karl Rove threw Foley in front of a moving train because.
No, as human beings, we're all the time screwed up in various ways. So when you give somebody the means to do horrible things, like, can you imagine handing out nuclear bombs to everybody? You know, somebody would get into a fight with their wife and set the thing off and blow up the entire neighborhood. And it's not a good idea. Now, the argument that I always get is, well, the Second Amendment says that we must have this to maintain our security against the government. And I say to them, and I said this to a few of them last week, you know what? Now is the time. The government has really done a number on the people. They're starting wars in places. They're taking away our rights. They're not representing the people. What are you waiting for? You've got your guns. Go do something. And I just get blank stares because they don't know what to do and they don't want to do anything. They want their toys. They want to be able to do target practice. And I'm fine with that as long as they admit that's the reason that they want these things in the first place.
Yeah. They'll, most cases, they use them to pick on innocent little animals that can't defend themselves nor understand what's about to happen to them, you know?
No, that's called hunting. That's true. And I have different feelings on that as well.
It makes it easy for us to go from our heated homes to our heated cars out into the wilderness where these animals have lived for the last billion years, struggling to just try to make it and destroy their habitat to the point where it's despicable. I mean, I think humans in this, you know, we have such intelligence. I mean, we walked on the moon, but yet we can't have compassion for these animals.
Walked on the moon, but can't string a simple sentence together once we're there.
Yep.
But
yep. I thought what he said was good on, when he got to the moon. You know, one small step for a man, one giant step for mankind.
If he said that,
I think that was appropriate.
If he said that, yes, but we didn't hear the A. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've been distressed because, you know, how often do you get to go to the moon and say something like that?
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep. He had his one shot and he loved it, huh?
Well, I don't know. Apparently this guy in Australia seems to think otherwise, but you can't hear it. You can only see it. Listen, thanks for your call and keep on thinking, okay?
But let me say one thing.
Yes,
one
go ahead.
One last thing to everybody. If you're going to read Bob Woodward's book, I mean, read it, but just, you know, don't be blinded by all this misinformation as well as the diversion of the modern media.
You know, I have a question about his book. Now, this is the thing that everybody is jumping on, and I can't believe once again our country is focusing on the wrong thing. Laura Bush actually wanted Rumsfeld to be fired. Who cares what Laura Bush wants, and why are we focusing on that so much as if this she's the expert?
Yeah, there's a lot of spinmeisters and a lot of people getting paid for a... you know, they have an agenda on the media, that they're not honest people, not honest brokers of debate.
My other question is, who let Bob Woodward into the White House? I mean, you don't do that.
Yeah, well, I think it's good that we have that type of society because, you know, we that's our final frontier of democracy is this the media. I mean, that's all we have now because the laws have all been controlled and circumvented and manipulated. I mean, everybody, you know, these people can continuously commit crimes and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last time when I spoke with you, we were discussing the 9/11 conspiracies, and a caller had called up afterward and accused me of being unpatriotic because of my questioning the war profiteering that was going on within the Cheney regime. And, you know, I don't see why, because George Bush, you know, the guy claimed that George Bush has so much money, he doesn't need to do these types of things. Well, you know, what was Enron? What was, you know, Kenny Boy Lay doing for them? I mean, there's just so much dirty pool being played, and these guys are just figureheads. They're not behind the true, I don't think anyway, the machine that calls the shots. I think they're just kind of sit up front as puppets.
Well, listen, we're going to have to talk about the machine later because we're out of time now, but thanks for your call.
Thank you for this great program. I listen to you all the time, and keep it up.
All right, we'll get two people to listen next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Remember, two new people a week. That's what we expect of you, our listeners. All right, our email address, otw@2600.com. If you're outraged or shocked by anything that you've heard today, please write to us and express your venom. And if you like what we did, okay, great, do that too. otw@2600.com. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. We'll see you tomorrow night on Off the Hook. And this special note, there's a fundraiser tomorrow night. Yes, we're entering our fall fundraiser at WBAI, so please call us up there and be generous, and we'll have all kinds of interesting things to give you as thanks. That show airs from 7 to 8 p.m. on 99.5 FM. We'll be back again next week here on 90.1 FM from 6 to 7. See you next week. Good night.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.